Okay, welcome into Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell, and over the next 2 hours, we want to remind you to connect with us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. Much of our show tonight, it's going to focus on the NFL and college football, but the start of the NBA season, hey, it is just around the corner. I mean, so many of us, we've been watching Team USA, their quest for the championship, but it's almost time to lace it up, and so we wanted to get an early primer on training camp, and that's why we have invited back to our show our leadoff guest, Steve Kyler of Basketball Insiders. How are you, Steve?
I am well. How are you?
Fantastic. Well, here we are in the month of September, and as we reflect on just the movement that took place over this past summer, I think the biggest storyline that comes to the forefront of my mind certainly is the Cleveland Cavaliers, their ever-impressive return of LeBron. I just got to ask you, it was 4 years ago that he was in Cleveland. How has he changed and evolved as a player and as a person?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One, I think he's grown up. I don't think that back in 2010 when he made the decision to leave Cleveland that he really understood what Cleveland meant to him as a person. Certainly being a kid that grew up in Ohio, being from Akron, you know, having family and friends there and spending all of his off seasons there. You know, I think the quest to get a championship, I think he thought that was going to be more fulfilling, but I think he learned, like, you know, a lot of free agents learn, and you know, a lot of these big name guys who change teams is, you know, you get viewed as a mercenary sometimes, and you don't get, you know, adored quite the way that you do when you win as somebody the team drafted or as a hometown kid. And I think he saw how Miami responded to Dwayne Wade winning a championship, and they never really embraced LeBron the same way they did Dwayne. And I think that was one of the reasons why he went back to Cleveland. I think there's more of a personal connection to that city and that marketplace than he had in Miami. And I think at the same time, he's at the point in his life where his children growing up and having his children in a certain environment really weighed heavily in his decision. I don't think this was as much a basketball decision as it was in 2010. I think this was more of a lifestyle, personal decision for LeBron.
Steve Kyler is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He is with Basketball Insiders. We want to encourage you to go online and check out his work. And just talking about LeBron, I mean, this incredible commitment to improving every facet of his game. When you evaluate him as a player, can you pinpoint one particular aspect where he has grown the most?
Well, I think he's a little more patient. You know, a lot of times we see these phenom scorers that come in and they try to force the issue on everything. I think if he understands as a player what he does and does incredibly well, you don't see him doing a lot of the things that I would say are the out of character things. You know, the one thing, the big characteristic of the young player is they're going to force a lot of action that maybe isn't in their game. LeBron has become a much better defender. You know, he was a good defender coming into the league. I think he's become an elite defender, and we've seen this before. You know, Michael Jordan, when he came into the NBA, was an electric scorer, not the best defender in the world. But as his career evolved, he became an all-world elite-level defender, and I think LeBron's there as well. You know, free-throw shooting and three-point shooting, those are still things that LeBron works on and is very diligent at. But I think he's a more complete player. I think he's a more balanced player, a more mature player. I think he's comfortable being LeBron, and that in and of itself is an amazing task because, you know, no matter what that guy does, he's going to have his critics, and I think he manages all of that really well. And you can see it on the floor. He doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low.
You know, you talk about and highlight defensively how he's grown and also just becoming this complete player, but what about on the interior and his ability to bang on the inside?
Yeah, you know, he's got a lot of size and physicality. You know, he just overwhelms physically a lot of the guys that match up against him. And you talk to guys, you have to defend him. And, you know, he's got the size of a power forward, but the quickness of a point guard. And so whoever you're going to put on him, there's a mismatch. You put a big guy, he'll blow right by him. You put a little guy, and he can just power over him. And then his touch in and around the basket. You know, for a couple of years, he's worked with Hakeem Olajuwon in the offseason, developing that low post game, understanding how to play in the paint. You know, and those are just, you know, the part of growing as a player. You know, he's looking for, you know, easy buckets, higher percentage buckets, and certainly those buckets in the paint, while more physical and harder to get, they are higher percentage basketball, and that just means, you know, more points, easier points to get, and also the chance to create some contact and get the other team into foul trouble.
We are so glad you made it a point to join us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, the fastest 2 hours in radio. And I tell you what, training camp, it is just around the corner. We're having an NBA conversation with Steve Kyler from Basketball Basketball Insiders, and I have just got so much curiosity about the Cavs' new head coach in David Platt and his system. How big of a risk is this, bringing in a coach that we really don't know that much about?
Well, I would say we know a lot about him. I mean, there are some coaches, when you look at Quinn Snyder in Utah and some of the guys that have gotten jobs, you know, when you look at Brett Brown last year, I don't think we knew what those guys were going to be. With David Blatt, you get as much experience as you could probably get, not, you know, outside of the NBA. This guy's won at every level. You know, I make the comparison. He's the Greg Popovich of international basketball. Everywhere this guy's gone, he's won. He's won at national team levels. He's won, you know, at every level of the Israeli league. He's coached big-time players. And talking to a lot of the players, especially players that are in the NBA or have been in the NBA that played for him, you know, they speak the world of him. You know, he is a very player-focused coach. His system and his process, you know, really mirrors a lot of what the NBA does. I think there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for sure. You know, 82 games, the travel, the pressure, the expectation. You know, he's going to have a spotlight on him every second of the day because he's got LeBron and Kevin Love now, and, you know, the expectation to win a championship. You know, his game and, you know, his coaching philosophy is going to be questioned after every loss, and there will be some losses. You know, anytime that it doesn't go exactly the right way, the blame's going to go on him. So there's going to be a lot of pressure. But if there's a guy out there that wasn't in the NBA that is maybe pressure tested enough, it's probably David Blatt. You know, he's one of the best that wasn't in the NBA. And, you know, now he's got an opportunity with all the tools in front of him to really be successful. You know, he should win despite himself, you know, and because of him, he may be very good.
You know, doing my research, David Blatt spent 33 years in Europe, but he has zero NBA experience as a player, a head coach, or an assistant. But as you were saying, he was a star in Europe. And so just curiosity in terms of, like, offensively, you know, what he's going to bring to the table, because Cleveland was not an efficient offensive team a year ago. I mean, they were, 22nd in the league.
Well, some of that comes down to young guys. You're going to get more offensive efficiency just by nature of having LeBron and Kevin Love. You know, both of those guys are going to demand huge amounts of attention, which means guys like Kyrie Irving, guys like Deion Waiters that were shooting 40% from the field are probably going to shoot 45, 50% from the field because they're going to get more space and more looks. So I think some of that's going to come. You know, this is a motion-oriented offense. You're going to see a lot of ball movement. You're going to see, you know, a lot of action away from the ball, and those are things that are designed to kind of create space and suck the defense away from players. I don't think you'll see a lot of drop-it-in isolation basketball. You know, that was something Eric Spoelstra had to struggle with in Miami, was really creating enough motion and enough action to get all of his guys the number of looks they needed. You know, David Blatt's system should do that right out of the gate. And, you know, keep in mind, while David doesn't have a lot of NBA experience, you know, his staff does. You know, he's got some guys that have not only played in the NBA and Tyronn Lue, but, you know, he's got a lot of guys that have been around the league and been part of some very successful staff. So, you know, he'll lean on his assistants, but I think that what he'll bring to the table is a very proven demeanor and process, and I think that players really do click and relate to him. And when you talk to players that have played for him, they love him.
Okay, the NBA conversation will continue in just a moment with Steve Kyler of Basketball Insiders. Right now, join us online at Twitter @eradiosports, and we will be right back.